You captivate our hearts. You saved us by your grace.
Amen. You may be seated. You know, isn't it wonderful to be able to know that we have a God that's so attentive to everything that goes on in our life. Listen, today as we prepare for worship, we're going to do things a little bit differently. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, and we purposely chose to do that today while we have a family Sunday, while that we have our children with us, because it's important for our children not only to learn about things, but to see us do things and to be a part of that. And today, leading up to that, I have asked our children's pastor, Brother Tommy, to come and to share a word about the Lord's Supper in preparation for us participating in the Lord's Supper today. Before he comes, I want to pray for him. Come on, Tommy, let me. Lord, I just come to you today and I lift Tommy up. Lord, we thank you that your name is wonderful, that you've called us and given us the opportunity to share. Lord, we thank you for our families that you've given us. And Lord, we pray that today you be honored and glorified through all of this. And Lord, I pray for Tommy that you speak through him in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, all right. I was sitting down there thinking, you know, I got up there and welcomed everybody to church, and I didn't tell you who I was, and there may be some of you that don't know. Is anybody here don't know who I am? Okay, so it was all right. No way, there's David. Thank you. David Muirhead says he doesn't know who I am. Okay, so I don't feel so bad about not introducing myself. And if I get a little tripped up, I'm just going to claim the Moses clause, okay? He didn't speak well either. So I'm going to ask you to kind of hang in there. I don't get an opportunity to come over and speak to adults very much. I've spoken at a few events where I had my dogs and I could just kind of hide behind them, and some of you may have seen that. But I hope you don't take it as an insult on your intelligence that they have the children's pastor up here to teach or preach through the Lord's Supper for you. most of what I read said that you should preach regardless of age, like you're preaching to 12-year-olds. So there you are, to make sure that you've got all the bases covered. So where are my people, my normal people? Where are y'all at? Let me see your hands. There's one. There's one. You're not going to come on. I need you. Thank you. All right. So there's another one right there. Okay. So I told them over there in Kids Church this morning, I said, look, I'm going to ask for my people and y'all raise your hands and I'm going to feel better because I know y'all are out there. So we want to take a look today at the Lord's Supper. And what is it? Kind of take a picture and take a look at that. Why is it important? Who should take it? And why does it matter? And so we'll go back to, we're going to look at Matthew's account here. This is Matthew chapter 26. If you got your Bibles, you can turn there just for a second. We're going to spend more time in 1 Corinthians. But Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. 26, 26. For those of you who were here last Easter, well, you actually could have seen this and hear tell it's going to happen again, maybe even twice this year with the living Last Supper. So here's what's going on. Jesus has asked the disciples to go and prepare the meal, and they're doing as he has instructed to celebrate the Passover. And interesting fact here that I didn't know until recently that I thought, you know, I always wondered, okay, why unleavened bread? What's the deal with the unleavened bread? Well, as it turns out, when the Jews left Egypt, and they had been there for a while, and it wasn't the nicest place to be, when the Jews left Egypt, how many of y'all have had those little bread starters? You keep it in a jar, and then you can, like, get a little quarter cup of it, share it with somebody, and you have to feed it, and y'all know what I'm talking about? A starter for bread? Y'all ever seen that? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. So they had their bread starters going, right, for yeasted bread or leavened bread. But when Pharaoh finally said, y'all go, I imagined it happened something like this. This is how it would have gone at my house. Janet would have been like, okay, well, let's get this and let's get this. And I'd have been like, leave it, let's go. We'll make some more bread when we get out of here, but first thing we got to do is get out of here, right? I'm tired of being here. He has said we can go. Let's go. So they left their leaven, their yeast. So when they were gone, they had unleavened bread. So the Passover was actually the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So there would not have been any leavened bread. And if you know much about the Jewish culture, leaven was considered sin. So if you had bread with leaven in it, it was sinful, it was full of sin, or it contained sin. That will be important later. So the bread, as they celebrated the Passover, would have been unleavened without sin. So let's take a look at what happens here. Verse 26. As they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread and asked God's blessing on it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take it and eat it, for this is my body." And he took a cup and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which seals the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out to forgive the sins of many." I'm going to stop right there for just a second, because the last part of that verse is, I think, very important. So that was the first one. That was the first one. He took the bread and he broke it, and he gave it to them, and he said, "Eat. This is my body that's broken for you." And then he took the cup and he passed it as well. And he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant." So if I was teaching the kids, I would say, "What's the blood of the new covenant? What's the big deal with the blood and the Passover and all that kind of stuff?" And I may ask for some volunteers here in a minute to see if you're paying attention. Why was the Passover important? Why was the Passover? How did you keep the death angel from coming to your house and taking your firstborn child? Anybody? Anybody? How? Blood of what? The blood of a spring lamb. Right? In Egypt, the final plague, the one that got them free, the one that made them leave their bread, starter. Right? To keep the death angel from coming to your house, you painted the blood of a spring lamb over your doorpost. When the death angel got there, he passed over your house. That's why that was important. That's what they were celebrating. Second part of that, the last part of that verse. I'm going to say that still yet. So that was the first one. They were celebrating a Jewish holiday, a Jewish festival. There would have been no leavened bread there. That was the first one. And he says, "Do this in remembrance of me," which gets us into the why. Jesus said, "When you do this, remember me." Remember what about me? Remember what about me? Did they know that night? Did the disciples know that night what Jesus was talking about? When he said, "This is my body broken for you, thank you, Jimmy," he says, no, they didn't know. What a cool place to be in to know what's fixing to happen. And a weird place for us to be sitting there going, "What? What do you mean? This is your body broken. This is your blood of the new covenant. What are you talking about?" He knew. They didn't. But he says, do this. Later, they knew. After he was crucified, they knew what he was talking about. They knew what he was talking about. And he says, do this to remember me. Do this to remember the sacrifice. Do this to remember what it was like on the cross. Do this to remember how much I love you. Something else to remember. Look at the last part of verse 28. "Each of you drink from it. For this is my blood, which seals the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out to forgive the sins of many. Verse 29. Mark my words. I will not drink wine again until the day when I drink it new with who? You. In my Father's kingdom. See, there's a promise. There's a promise. I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. He's coming back. He's coming back. And we're going to get to celebrate it again with Him. So let's look now at who. That was the first one. That's why He asked us to remember. That's why He asked us to do it. Now let's look at who can partake. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a born-again believer in Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that He made for you for the atonement of your sin so that you could be with Him in heaven and enjoy His presence while you're here on earth and all the other good things that go along with it, this is not for you. It's just not. Why? Because it doesn't mean anything to you. It just doesn't. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ has no bearing on you if you have not accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. So I talked with the children briefly this morning and just said, hey, you know, if you haven't believed in Jesus Christ and you haven't been baptized, this is just not for you now. It's just not, because it has no relevance in your life. It has no bearing. And if we look at the Great Commission says, go into all the nations, what? Making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey the Lord. All right? So first is belief. Second is baptism. And third are the Lord's commandments, the things that He asked us to do, one of which He asked us to do by remembering Him when we take the Lord's Supper. Now, finally, how? How do we take the Lord's Supper? We should take the Lord's Supper with reverence. After having examined ourselves and remembering Jesus' sacrifice for us. You know, I get distracted. I don't know about you guys. Any Facebookers in here? Twitter? Snapchat? What's going on at church? What's going on with the dogs? The fact that I tried to amputate my finger with a Phillips head screwdriver yesterday. Life distracts us. It just does. We got so much going on. So many things we can't, you know, this ball, that ball, everything, this thing, that thing. We get busy. Anybody in here busy? Anybody in here busy? Okay. The Lord's Supper is a time to put it in park, turn the key off, set the parking brake, get rid of your phone, clear your mind, and do a self-check, right? I'm 50 years old. I have avoided all of the normal things that are supposed to have happened by the time I'm 50, but I'm fixing to have to go have everything looked at, right? Everything. I'm not looking forward to it. Doctors are bad news, right? They tell you things that are wrong with you. I really don't want to know. I feel good. I don't look good, but I feel good, right? But every once in a while, it's good to just stop and have somebody take a look and say, that little spot on your head, we might ought to get that one. Not anything to worry about yet, but we're going to get that one. Or you know, this or that or all the other things. I mean, anybody that's 50 or over, you know, things start to get a lot of mileage on them. They just don't work like they used to anymore. It's hard for me to keep up with your 12 and 13-year-olds. I'm still taller than they are, so I do get a few swats at the goal every now and then. But the Lord's Supper is a time to stop. Throw away all the chaff. Throw away all the things that distract you. And focus on the heart of the matter. You see, because without his sacrifice, without his love, without what he did for us, we're hopeless. Now, over in 1 Corinthians, toward the back, it's there, so I gotta tell you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, sorry. I should have told you that earlier. Let's look at verse 27. And give you a little background. This is 1 Corinthians, the letter that who wrote? Thank you. To the church in? Okay. Now, the Corinthians had kind of taken the Lord's Supper and skewed it just a slight bit, or a lot. It turned into a darn dinner party where everybody got fat, right? Let's just get stuffed. They weren't doing it with reverence. They weren't doing it with respect. So some of this doesn't directly apply, but the principles are the same. Verse 27. So if anyone eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily, not that you're unworthy, but if you eat the bread and drink the cup unworthily, in an unworthy manner, that person is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Verse 28. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking from the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup unworthily, nothing not honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. And it says, that is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. See, God wasn't kidding. God wasn't playing. God took it seriously. Took it seriously to the fact that Jesus Christ was willing to die. Not just die, but to die a cruel and painful death. He was willing to do whatever it took because he took it seriously. We should take it seriously as well. So here in just a little while, we're gonna take a second. Mark, come on up. Let me just kind of wrap this up here. Take a minute. Do a self-examination. Is there something? Is there a sin? Is there a struggle? Is there something against a neighbor? Is there something that's hindering your walk with Christ? Take a minute. Do business with God. Or whoever, if they're here, maybe just take a minute. Talk to them about that. Deal with it. Let's get rid of the distractions and let's remember. Let's do as he asks us. Remember him through this taking of the Lord's Supper. Can have a great refocusing. It can be a refocusing time for us. So I look forward to doing that with you. I'm going to pray, and then Marcus is going to play. They're going to play some music in the background. There's no rush. There's no time schedule for this. Just ask you to take a minute. Take a minute. You've got business to do with God, take care of that. And then let's prepare to take the Lord's Supper in a way that would make him proud. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of remembrance. Father, thank you for the promise that we should do this to remember you, to self-check, Father, to bring things back to their essence. Father, to the purity of our religion and our faith in you. It's all based on your sacrifice. Father, help us to remember that your sinless body was broken for us. And Father, that your pure blood was shed to fulfill the new covenant, so that if we would believe on you, Father, you would pay the price for our sin. Father, as we reflect, guide our hearts and our minds, and help us to come back to just a pure, simple, refreshing remembrance of how much you love us. And it's in your name I pray.
In need of
seated. As we prepare for the Lord's Supper today, we're going to do it differently because one of the things that we are taught in the Bible, we as the church want to walk along beside you, but the primary responsibility of teaching our children about the Lord belongs to the parents. And so one of the ways that we teach our children most effectively is when we model things before them. They remember much more what we do than what we say. And so as we have the Lord's Supper today, here's how we're going to do that. And you may say, well, why? After we finish, this can do a few things. Your child may not understand today, but it can be a conversation starter to place an opportunity for you to be able to talk with your child about the things that we do and why we do them and what we come together for when we come together at church. Because the Lord told us in the Old Testament to put aside things so that when they were seen by our children, they'd ask and they'd say, Dad, what's that? Tell me about it. For example, in the Old Testament, where that the children of Israel came across the Jordan River, God had them to stack up stones. And as he had them stack up stones, he said, it'll be in days to come, years to come, that your children will come by and they'll say, what does this mean? Mom and Dad, you'll be able to tell them what this means and why it's important and why it's special today. So I'm going to ask at this time, if our deacons that are going to serve today would come, and I'm going to explain as they're coming how we're going to do this. We're actually going to have the deacons stay at the table, and we're going to serve you by family groups today. Now, I want you to understand something. If you're not here with a family, you come as an individual. Or if you are here as a family and you want to adopt somebody that you see and let them come with you. If you are here together with a group of friends today and not family, you can come together. We want to encourage you as you partake of the Lord's Supper. And so, if you will, please all of you stand at this time, if you're able. All of the people in this section and this section, if you will, make your way to the back and come around so that you'll be over on this side in just a moment to be served. We'll have one family at a time coming to each side. If you're on this side of the sanctuary, make your way to the back and come around. If you're here and you have a problem being able to be mobile, being able to do this, please just make your way to the front, and we want to serve you first if you have problems being able to do. But you can begin to move and take your places as you prepare for the Lord's Supper. Once you all get in line there, we're going to take a moment and we're going to pray. And I'm going to give a few more instructions. All right? Let's take just a moment and we pray. Father, we come to you and we thank you for the fact that you shed your blood and that you gave us the opportunity to trust in you. And you gave us life, Lord, through your grace and through your mercy. And we come and we remember what you have done today, but we look forward to your promise of what is yet to come, that you will one day come again for us to receive us, Father. We thank you that you've done this and ask your blessing today in the name of Jesus. And what we will do is I'm going to ask my family to join me at the front and we'll demonstrate and we'll begin the service, and you'll come by families or by groups and let the deacons serve you and return back to your seats when you finish. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we thank you that you have loved us enough that you gave yourself for us. We thank you for a time to be able to remember that today. And Lord, we pray that you'd be honored and glorified through it. In Jesus' name. At this time, would our ushers come?